Again, I remind you, this is the Bible Fellowship broadcast. This is Mr. McNeil speaking to you now. And for our message today, I want to read to you some verses from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13. And he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. It came to pass, as he was dining in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, in the precious name of thy beloved Son, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We know of no other way of approach, for we recall the Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so we thank thee for thy kindness to us, and for the words that have been read from the inspired scriptures. We pray now by thy Holy Spirit that these things may be written indelibly upon every heart and mind today of all the listeners, that the Lord's name may be glorified, and some poor struggling sinner may be brought to know him. Hear us in these things for his own name's sake. Amen. Now, perhaps just before that I bring you a little message, we could listen again to a nice hymn being sung. Now, as I draw your attention to the passage that I have read to you today, I consider it very interesting. Here we have the call of a man who became one of the outstanding disciples of the Lord. Really, he's the man to whom we're indebted, that under the power of the Holy Spirit, he penned for us what we commonly call the first gospel, the gospel according to Matthew. You see, Matthew was called Levi as well as Matthew. So when we read of him as being Levi, remember that's the same man. Now, as we look at this little passage I have read to you today, I would like first of all to say a few things about the character of the man. After all, those who were opposed to him, they knew what they thought about him. He was not a popular man. In fact, he would be despised by his own people. Now, the background is this. You understand that at that time, the Roman power had control of Palestine. And all the people who lived in that land had to be subject to the power of Rome. In fact, Roman power was so manifested that they had their forts built there, and they had their soldiers stationed there, in different parts of the country. In particular, up at Capernaum there were some, and down in Caesarea there were some, and in Jerusalem, in all the main cities, there were stationed there Roman soldiers. I suppose it was to keep the peace and enforce the law. It was military rule. Now, also, there had to be some measure of taxation. And so the Romans had inflicted upon the people of that land heavy taxes. Many of you will remember, as you read your Bibles, that at the time when the Lord Jesus was born, that was why Joseph and Mary had to leave their home away up in the north in Galilee, travel all the way down to Bethlehem in order to be enrolled in view of a new taxation. And each one had to go to their own particular area where they had been born or to which area they belonged. So Joseph and Mary had to go away down to Bethlehem and Judah and there be enrolled. I mention that to show how that the Romans were very severe in inflicting their taxes and making sure that people paid their taxes. Now that being so, then someone had to be employed in order to collect the taxes. Now you can understand that if one of their own people, one who was a Jew, if he accepted a position with the Roman power in order to be a tax collector, you could understand he would be despised by his own. In fact, he would be looked upon as a traitor. And so these tax gatherers, these publicans, as they were called, were a despised group. They were looked upon as being traitors in the camp, men who had turned their back upon their own and were willing to serve the enemy for their own material gain. All right then, here we find this man, sometimes referred to as Levi, sometimes referred to as Matthew. That's the kind of job that he had. No doubt, there's a lot of truth to the fact that these men enriched themselves by dishonesty. In plain words, instead of simply taking the taxes that were due, they would levy a heavier tax and they would take some for themselves and pass some on to the government. Now, if Matthew was up there in Capernaum, here was a place where there would be a lot of traffic going through, and he would be sitting at the toll booth, and those who were passing through with their caravans would have to pay toll to pass along, and he would be sitting in his toll booth collecting the taxes. Now, you've got the idea then of the man. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ passed by, and he saw this man sitting at the toll booth or the tax office, and he looked on him and he said two words to him. He said, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. The call of the Master, "Follow me." Now I ask you in all fairness, up to that time, what was Matthew following? No doubt he was following his own bent in life. He had the idea of making material gain, having an easy place for himself, and so making life as easy as possible. It's obvious he seems to have turned his back upon his own nation, and no doubt in so doing he turned his back upon his own religious upbringing. But now he's faced with a challenge. The Lord Jesus Christ stands before him and says, "Follow me." Now, I think we should face this, that this challenge didn't come like a bolt of lightning on a stormy day. The fact of the matter is, the Lord had been moving around in Capernaum, performing miracles and preaching, and the whole place would get to know about him, so that Matthew would be quite conversant with what was going on. In fact, we may well suppose that Matthew at some time or another had watched him, listened to him, and knew something about him. And I've often been of this conviction that Matthew himself was not satisfied with his position in life, that lying somewhere deep down in his soul, there was a desire for something better. He knew that while he was well off with the material things of life, that there was something else beyond this that he required in order to bring satisfaction and peace into his life. Perhaps he had listened to some of the messages spoken by the Lord, and lying in his heart there was the desire to get to know the Savior in a better way, not simply to listen to him and see him, but to be close to him and to be accepted by him. And his opportunity came when the Lord Jesus Christ passed by, and as he was passing by, it seems he stood and he looked upon Matthew. Not on the outward appearance, I suggest to you, but the Lord, knowing all men and knowing what was in men, he could read this man's heart. He knew the desires of his heart, and he says to him, "Follow me." Is it possible that my word this morning is reaching into someone's heart? It may be someone is listening to this broadcast now, and you are not satisfied with life. You are not satisfied even with your position in this life, and you may have a good one, or otherwise. But somehow or another, lying deep in your own soul, there is a desire for something better. You know you're not right with God, and you know it's possible to be right with Him, and you're just waiting for that opportunity. How you would love someone just to put their hand on your shoulder and talk lovingly to you and talk reasonably to you, tell you about the Savior and the way of salvation. My friend, here's your opportunity. This voice is coming to you now. You can hear the voice, although you see no man. And I'm saying to you now, just as the Master came and called this man as he was sitting at the toll booth taking in the taxes, just as the Lord spoke to him and said, "Follow me," I pray and trust that today these words shall reach your heart. No matter what condition you're in now, may you hear the words of the Savior come with force and with challenge to your heart. And he's saying to you, "Follow me." Not to follow some religious group, not to follow some great preacher. No, my friend, it's the Lord you need. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You need the Savior. And the Savior is calling. He's calling you now. He's saying, "Follow me." Notice then the concurrence of Matthew. "And he arose and followed him." Matthew didn't waste any time. When the call came, he left all and followed the Lord Jesus. Might I suggest this was a big step for this man? It wasn't easy. When Peter and his companions, that is his brother, and his two friends, James and John, who were fishermen up on the Sea of Galilee, when they left the boats and followed him, it meant something to them, but don't forget their father was still carrying on the business. And the boats were still sailing out on the Sea of Galilee to catch fish. And if Peter and Andrew and James and John were not satisfied with being disciples of the Master, they could always go back to the old trade. The boats were still there. They could go back and become fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. Ah, but for Matthew it was different. When Matthew heard the call of the Savior, and he arose and followed him, it meant turning his back on his old way of life. It meant leaving the toll booth. It meant leaving his government post, if you like, his good job. And once he resigned from that, there was no turning back. Oh no, my friend. I may be speaking to someone today the things of life has such a grip upon you that you're weighing it in the balance. And you're saying, well, if I was to become a Christian, it was going to call for a great adjustment in my life. Yes, perhaps it will. And if so, you're not the first one. It may be you'll have to leave that life of sin, because deep down in your heart you know that it's wrong. It may be you'll have to turn your back upon a lot of shady things, make a clean start in life, trusting the Lord, not only for salvation, not only trusting Him to save your soul and make you fit for heaven. Perhaps you'll have to trust Him to guide you in this life, to do the things that are right and honorable. It was a big step for Matthew, but he concurred with the call of the Master, and he followed Him. And you know, he became a great man for God. Instead of a tax collector, he became one of the apostles. Instead of writing out the accounts of men's taxes, the Spirit of God used them to write the account of the life of Christ as seen in the Gospel according to Matthew. It's amazing what God can do with men when they turn their lives over to the Savior. Friend, is the Savior calling you today? Could it be said, the Master is come and calleth for thee? And if you're listening to the call of the Master, if He's saying to you, follow Me, what are you going to do? Will you be like Matthew? You count the cost, it's true, and then you rise and you follow Him. There's an old verse of a hymn, used to go like this: my old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. With Jesus Christ I mean to dwell. I will go, I will go. Now, I'm hoping that someone listening to my voice now, no matter where you may be, my friend, that will be your response to the call of the Master. Like Matthew, you'll concur. You'll rise and follow Him. But having made his decision to follow the Master, I'm very interested in what he does next. I notice that Matthew has a concern for others. For it distinctly says in verse 15, and it came to pass, as he, that's the Lord Jesus, was dining in Levi's house, while he's sitting at his table and he's eating, there's a great feast has been prepared. And at that feast, many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Now, I want you to notice this very carefully, that this man, Matthew, when he began to follow the Lord, he had a great concern for others. The people with whom he had associated in his years before this, the other tax collectors, he knew them. Then it's obvious that he had a lot of companions with people that are called sinners. The Pharisees knew them. They despised them. They despised the tax collectors. They despised the sinners. But then the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to accept the invitation. And you find that Matthew had a concern for these other people who needed the Savior. So he makes a feast. He invites all those former friends, for he wants them to hear the Savior. He wants them to meet the Savior. He's concerned for others. I ask each listener today, in all fairness, if you know the Savior, my friend, are you concerned for others? Are you? Or it may be, my friend, that you've been brought up in a Christian home and you're not saved yet. But do you realize there's others concerned about you? Now, it's at this point where we're introduced to the criticism of the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ, when the scribes and Pharisees — now remember, these were religious people, very religious. These scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. But when they saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, Well, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? In plain words, they are criticizing the Lord for the company that he kept. Perhaps they had good reasons at first, but they didn't understand the position. You see, they would not have gone and associated with those tax collectors. Oh no, these were despised men, and they certainly would not be seen in the company of men who were known as sinners. But you see, the trouble is that these scribes and Pharisees themselves, they needed the Savior, but they didn't know it. And so they're criticizing the Lord. And a lot of people today criticize the Lord Jesus. And they criticize him for the kind of people that he saves. Now watch. Here is the convicting answer of the Lord. If you forget all else that I have said today, kindly remember this. When the Pharisees and the scribes criticize, saying, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors, these publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. If you're not sick, you don't need the doctor. But those who are sick, they need the doctor. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Ah, my friend, does this meet your need? He didn't come to call the righteous. If the man is not sick, he doesn't need the doctor. May I ask you, would you criticize a doctor because he went into a leper colony to administer help to people who were lepers? Would you criticize him and say, see the kind of company he's keeping? Would you criticize a doctor for going into a hospital beside all the sick and the suffering ones and spending his time there to help them? Of course you wouldn't. And that's the illustration the Lord uses here. He doesn't deny that these tax collectors and these sinners are sick people, morally sick, spiritually sick, and they need help. But then, remember this, he puts himself in the position of the spiritual physician and he says, I'm come to help them. I have come to call sinners to repentance. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was the convicting answer of the Lord. My friend, he's calling you to repentance. And he's calling for you today.